All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Well, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday, and just before Jesus went to the cross, he instituted the Last Supper, which is a communion, and he told us to take as often as we will this, and so we can take it two or three times a day if we need to. You know, but the biggest thing that we need to do is make sure we don't turn it into a religious habit or just something that we do on once a Sunday, you know, or once a week or something we do once a month, but to actually discern the body of Christ so we can receive the benefits that God gave us in this. So when we look at this bread, we're looking at the body of Christ, and we see this perfect, sinless body of Christ that was beaten and bruised for us. Also, you'll notice that there's stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. Jesus got scourged for our healing, and this bread has been pierced. And everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood, and we get redemption in some area. And this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us for breaking the law, was laid on Jesus. He took the full brunt of the curse. He took all of our sicknesses, all of our sins, all of our diseases, all of it, so that we could walk free. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing in the name of Jesus, and we thank You for it. And the blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure. There was no sin in it ever at all. He never made a single mistake. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can stand before God, as though nothing ever happened. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have been justified freely by His grace. And it's because of that blood, our sins have been washed away. And we have boldness to enter into His throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, I was just thinking about the communion, and that was one thing in the Bible that they haven't been able to keep from us. You know, the religious world muddied the waters with false teachings about it and confused a lot of people, but have you noticed that the world is learning more and more and more stuff that's been hidden from us? We keep getting more and more and more and more revelation. You know, I've noticed that there's a lot of people that are really starting to talk about the oils and the herbs in the Bible that was meant for our healing. And they're starting to make this broadcast to the world. See, this was stuff that was kept from us. You know, I'm as guilty as a lot of people. I preach out of the King James all the time. You know, I mean, that's one of the things I learned early on. King James is the only Bible you should preach out of. You know, when the world finally learns how much damage King James did to the church. See, not only did he change our Bible around to fit his desires, and he was a power hungry king, and he wanted everybody to be submissive to him. So he took the Bible that the pilgrims had was not the King James. The Bible they were reading was the Geneva Bible, and it taught the church to stand up to the government, to pray against wicked rulers, wicked governors. And somehow King James got that twisted around, and I noticed that the church has this idea we're supposed to be submissive to the rulers. The Bible, if you read the Bible and you understand Jesus, you're not going to be submissive to evil. You'll stand up to it, which is what the Geneva Bible taught too. But King James also wrote another book called Demonology. And what he did was he caused a whole bunch of people to get slaughtered in the name of witchcraft. What was really going on was these people were using herbs and oils and stuff that had been passed down from generation to generation. Stuff people had learned out of the Bible, using these different herbs and oils to heal people with. And they couldn't very well have that now, could they? See, we're going to learn a lot of stuff. Now, it's important. This is why it's so important for you to rely on the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of very important information that's going to be hitting the airways, and it's stuff that we can use. Also, you have to understand that AI is out there. And you're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because AI is nuts. And there's a lot, you know, you don't believe everything you see. Just because you see something doesn't mean that it happened. AI is creating a lot of crazy stuff. So just be led by the Holy Spirit. But understand this, just because somebody starts talking about herbs and spices and, you know, oils and stuff, that doesn't mean they're a witch. Okay? There's people pulling stuff up out of the Bible that's beneficial for us, okay? And we're going to hopefully get back where we can actually benefit from that again. Have a healthy world. Amen. Now, we've been talking about these 16 different things that happened when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It is finished." And we stopped at the cancellation of the mortgage claim of Satan and the freeing of men and his dominion from sin and Satan. So we were in a place of sin. And Satan actually owned us. But when we said, "Jesus, be my Lord," we got bought. We got bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. And we got branded with the Holy Spirit. We got moved to a whole new pasture. We no longer belong to Satan. We belong to God. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now, that's the cost. We'll read some more, but that's the cost. The precious blood of Jesus. Always, always understand this. Whenever you find yourself thinking that you're going to earn something from God. Measure your special talent with the blood of Jesus. And if your talent is more valuable than the blood of Jesus, let me know. We got to have a serious conversation. But there's nothing you can do to earn anything from God. You can only receive it. And it's because of the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 15. It says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations you received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 18 tells a lot right there. It says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received from the tradition of your forefathers. See, there's a lot of traditions that the church has been following along with that just don't stand true to Christ. You know, there's been a lot of things that we've just always done because that's what we've always done. You know? And we can't really put our finger on why we actually do that. You know, we should study once in a while. You should be curious about the things that you do. Yeah, I'm curious by nature. I just got to figure something out all the time. You know, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Everybody running around calling it Easter, scattering Easter eggs all over the place, celebrating a little bunny. Ask them why they do that. Well, that's what we've always done. That's how you do Easter. Why do you do Easter? Well, because Jesus came back to life. So, well, why don't you call it Resurrection Sunday? Well, because we call it Easter. Why? Because we got infiltrated. We got infiltrated. Easter is Ishtar. It's a fertility goddess. That's why the Easter eggs scattered all over the place. Sign of fertility. It's a pagan worship. And then people wonder why I don't want to go scatter Easter eggs. I don't care about none of that. I care about Resurrection Sunday. That's a good thing. But I don't want to hear about your Easter eggs. See how we've mixed traditions of our fathers with the true spirit of Christ? And it's all over the place. And it's a mess, but it's getting cleaned up. But we need to make sure we sweep our side of the street out. Amen? So, let's look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, pain, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven veils full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. How many of you, I just got to ask you, since we're right here, have been told that the church is the bride of Christ? You hear it all the time. We are not the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. The holy city, Jerusalem, is the bride of Christ. We are not the bride of Christ. Now, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and a wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth was emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, and the ninth a topaz, the twelfth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, and it were transparent glass. Now, we always talk about in funerals, we say there's no more pain, no more sorrow in heaven. But they're talking about no more pain and no more sorrow right here on this earth. This holy city, Jerusalem, is going to come down out of heaven, the bride of Christ, and be set down on that mount. And God is going to dwell among his people. You know, we are going to have one world church someday. See, the world, the NWO has been fighting to have a one world government, one world church, and one world currency. They've been fighting that for a long time. Always remember that the devil's never been able to create anything. All he's ever been able to do is counterfeit and twist. So every time he's trying to do something, look at the opposite. There's always something that's already been established. There is going to be a one world government. The government is going to rest on Jesus' shoulders. There's got to be a one world currency. It's called gold. And evidently, God has a lot of gold in store. He made a whole city out of the streets. He uses gold for pavement. And those pearls, that's got to be every Cajun's dream. When you find a pearl that big, how big is that oyster? That's a huge, huge oyster, man. But we're going to have a one world religion. The Bible does tell us that we are going to come together in the unity of the faith. We're going to believe on Jesus. It's going to be apparent. I don't know how this process happens. I don't know when it shakes down, but we are going to come together. We are going to be one body, one church.
Amen.
We're not going to have 5,000 different denominations and 5,000 different religions. We're going to come together in Christ. Now go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. I got to believe that we're living right now in the book of Revelation. There is a lot of things happening in this world that they talk about in the book of Revelation. And a lot of things that are getting exposed. And I actually seen a guy on video the other day that proclaimed himself as the Antichrist. That's a little far-fetched, you know. But just know this, that there's stuff happening right now. Rivers have been turned to red. There have been springs in the desert that have sprung forth, and they're flowing rivers now, causing the life in the desert. There's a lot of things happening. We just have to keep our eyes on Jesus and keep focused on Him, and He'll get it sorted out. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. There's where it says that you've been made kings and priests. You got redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And you've been made a king and a priest. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So you're a little king and a little lord. You lord it over this earth. See, He gave you dominion over this earth. It's our responsibility to take care of this world. And our report card has been kind of failing. You know, the church for a long time said we can't get involved in politics. We have to just kind of pray and hope things work out. Hope somebody does something. You know, somebody did do something, and they turned Washington, D.C. into just a satanic, pedophile-filled, terrible place. Because the church was sitting around waiting for somebody to do something. And they didn't want to stand up and be known because they didn't want to look bad. The church, we're supposed to be ruling and reigning over this earth. And in fact, every single politician that we have in Washington, D.C. should be washed in the blood, believing in Christ. Our constitution is set up that way. Our constitution works for a Christian society. And see, politicians knew this. That's why they flooded us with Muslims and everything else they could find, because they know those societies, they don't dwell on a constitution. They dwell on chaos. That's why we have chaos. All the while, 50% of the church didn't want to vote for somebody because they didn't like some mean tweets that he posted. Every time I run into one of those, I let them know how their folly is. The church is supposed to stand up and make themselves known, even in politics. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. See Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Right there, he took our place on that cross. He tasted the death that we deserved. He took it. And then it goes on and says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So well, the minute you get born again, you get brought into the body of Christ. You're one body. No matter where you get born again, you don't get born again a Baptist, you don't get born again a non-denominational, you don't get born again a Methodist, you don't get born again a Catholic, you get born again into the body of Christ. One church, one body. That's why it's important to avoid all these religious arguments that people come at you with. Well, you don't baptize right. You don't pray right. You don't do this right. You don't do that right. Stay away from that. Find a way to find something to agree on. Is Jesus Christ Lord? That'd be a good place to start. Yeah. Okay. Let's just agree on that and go get something done. Amen. We're not going to ever agree on doctrine, but the Bible never said anything about that, did it? It said we're going to come together in the unity of the faith, not our doctrine. It's our doctrine, our traditions of men that have kept the church fractured and split up and arguing and fighting back and forth till today. All it takes really to start another church is resentment in a coffee pot. And the things that people find to fight about are absolutely insane. They'll fight about the color of the carpet. They'll fight about the color of the walls. Whether you should sit down in praise and worship or stand up in praise and worship or keep your hands down or raise your hands, shout hallelujah or not. They're going to find a way to not get along with somebody else. We don't want to take part in petty arguments. There's a lot of little petty things that happen in the church that people like to focus on. Actually, I thought church was going to split one time. This guy called me, and he was really upset. He was shook up. And I said, well, what's going on? And he said, well, we put the Christmas tree in the wrong place, and some people are really, really mad. And I said, huh? He said, yeah, it was blocking the cross. I said, well, move the Christmas tree over. and go have a glass of tea. Something. Boy, the next Sunday service, I was ripping pages out of my Bible and throwing it at them. I said, by the time you guys get done arguing over all this stuff that you don't agree on, all you're going to have is an empty book with maps in it and a leather cover. And you're going to be arguing whether it's genuine leather or not. Knock it off. Just grow up and go forward in Christ. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 10. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. So whether we're in our bodies running around, or whether we leave our bodies and they bury our bodies, we need to be alive in Christ, together in Him. Amen? The traditions of men have really caused such a mess. So I've actually had people come in here and say, I want to be a member of the church. And I said, well, you're okay, you're a member. I said, I didn't do anything. I said, did you get born again? Yeah, you're a member. Well, don't I got to get baptized? I said, haven't you already been baptized? Yeah, then you're good to go. Well, don't I need to sign a card or something? I said, well, no, your name's wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I got to do something. I said, you already did that. He said, Jesus be my Lord. Now you're a part of the church. This is just where part of the church meets. I actually seen people... They'd take a plastic flower and go plant it in dirt. Now you're planted in the church. Are you kidding me? But see, that's what the traditions of men do. Instead of just the pure water of the Word, the pure blood of Jesus, which is the only thing that we can rely on, and that's the only thing that qualifies us, not all these different things that people come up with. That's nonsense. It may make people feel special. It may make pastors feel more powerful. But it's not of the Bible. It's just not. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll stop here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Because he lives. That's the reason, that's what makes our life worth living, because he came back to life. You know, it's because of him. You know, when we got born again, you know, when a man gets born again, he really does have a lot of needs that need to be dealt with. There's a lot of things that need to happen. You know, for most people, I don't know, there's some people, you know, they kind of skipped through life and things were really good and they grew up in church and then they just decided to get born again when they was little and they just kept going and everything was good. But there's a lot of people that things weren't going real good for them when they got born again and they had a mess. And there was a lot of things that needed to get fixed. You know, and they really weren't in a position to go help somebody else until they got fixed. And it takes a little while for God to get us fixed. But he does. And then once he does get us fixed, then he can equip us and send us out into the world, and we can start helping other people. But that process sometimes is a messy one. You got to realize that redemption is a messy process. I had a preacher tell me one time, I was having a hard time, I had a preacher tell me one time, said that he got born again, and he quit smoking pot, and he quit fishing on Sunday, and everything was wonderful from that day forward. And I thought, well, good for you. But there was some wreckage that I was trying to get cleaned up, and it took a little while to get there. A lot of people are in that spot. And there's a lot of people that think because a man gets born again, that he's supposed to walk into this church and have his act together and everything's going to be wonderful. Did you know that's not true? He got born again, praise God. But this train wreck of life that he's been riding was going downhill fast. He got born again and hit the brakes. Now that train has a full momentum going downhill. It might be screeching, and he might still be wrecking for a little bit, but eventually he's going to get stopped. And it takes a little while to get going the other way. And our job is to catch those people and help them stop the wreck. Encourage them. You know, don't remind them of the wreckage. Remind them of what Jesus did for them in his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? And it's all because of that blood of Jesus. We all got redeemed. And there's nothing we could do about it. All we could do is say, Jesus saved me. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Thank you for everything that you're doing for us right now. As our high priest, making intercession for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to us. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for taking care of us and watching out for us. We need your protection, and we ask you to protect us in the name of Jesus, and we plead the blood of Jesus over our lives. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we have snacks.